Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth Bible study each week. All correspondence and inquiries of the broadcast of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is Thursday, September 19th, 2019, and the reading for this week is found in Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting at verse 1 through chapter 29, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 22, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 13, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 27, and also Acts chapter 7, verses 30 through 36. Be sure to take time to read the pertinent articles by the Watchman and pass them on to your friends and relatives. It's really important that you read these. And the articles we feature this week are Vanity of Kingdoms and the Lust of Travail. In the Vanity of Kingdoms, we find that in the end, the lust of travail will prevail. In spite of having it all, hedonism and a free spirit to indulge will find you trouble every time. Here we look at a special written prose to reveal the deep message within, a message to America and the nations, yet one pertinent to every person on this planet. We all face the anxieties of these end of days, and there is only one cure. Also, heaven's victory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we have heaven's victory. The gates of hell shall never prevail. In Jesus' name, there is a firm hope for all people everywhere. Yet we are living in a day and age so wicked, the righteous cannot survive. At the very least, that is what many seem to believe. So you can go to www.warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. to read the latest articles and also to listen to all our shows. I'm sorry, it's warn-usa.com. And now I invite in the Watchman.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com. And also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be here, and the weather's nice, even though we're heading into winter. Hope not for a couple more months, though.
Yeah, me too. Preferably the longer the better.
Yes.
Well, at any rate, we are here on a Thursday. We are in Isaiah. And, you know, around here, we've been busy. We're wrapping up the garden and getting everything tucked away for winter. But we still got a lot of work left to do, doing the harvest, harvesting all the tomatoes now. We're going to be getting ready to do a lot of other stuff. till we get it away. All of our herbs did pretty good this year. We had several different kinds of basil. We have a little rosemary. We have a lot of thyme. We have, we're going to miss, I was thinking of this today, we're going to miss our fresh mint. And dill. So we have quite a few herbs and spices, herbs that we do grow here. And we use a lot of dill as well as mint.
Yeah, we didn't get our bumper crop of squash this year like we did last year. Oh, my goodness, we had 4 squash last year. They were so big, they totaled 160 pounds, the 4 of them together. That was amazing.
Well, you know, the reason that we didn't get it this year, there's 2 reasons for that. The main one is we planted in another portion of the yard. And the second part is we do not eat squash much. And we were eating it, but we're at the point now, especially with what we're doing here, we limit how much of that we can eat. So we gave a majority of it away last year. We still have some big squash out there. We probably got one probably close to 40 pounds out there right now, and another one probably 25. So, you know, and that's really, we got more than enough for us. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we don't need that. And we're doing it with a limited space anyway. So we don't have a lot of space like everybody. Our raspberries came in real good, but this is not a garden report. You know, I mean, this is not the garden show, but we do a lot of that. And the WIBR, which is the Watchman Institute for Biblical Research, I've mentioned that before. That's actually our original portion of our ministry, and we added on WARN, which is the Watchman Alert Radio Network. So it's the WIBR WARN Radio. And that part, the Watchman Institute, is one that we are working now on our Dana Glenn Smith site. We're going to combine all of them eventually. And we will have the WIBR WARN Radio all together. It'll be more of a focus of what you eat. You know, you can look at it like body, mind, soul, and spirit. And, you know, this involves some of the latest science on your gut biome and other things. We are, you know, been researching and tracking a number of top doctors in the area, and they have proven that many of the diseases that are catastrophic now can be turned around. This includes Alzheimer's. And what's that other one we were talking about?
Autism.
And a lot of other things, multiple sclerosis and things like that. So it's just amazing stuff. We're talking prophecy in the Bible. And so we're putting it all together. And that's really the focus. We do have 2 teaching shows. And we might change that around a little bit and have, you know, but we're not sure. And we're quite a ways away from finishing it all, getting it all going. It all takes money. I mean, if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't have to. Well, I probably wouldn't care. But, you know, the thing of it is, it's just the way it is. I chose a long time ago to learn how to do all the websites and things like that. So consequently, we do pretty much everything. And so that keeps us busy, and we expect the Lord's blessing. And but at any rate, that's some of the focus. You know, we have to be good about a number of things, and health is one of the main ones. If you don't have health, you don't have nothing, really. Of course, if you don't have salvation, you don't even have health. I mean, you can have health until you get before the Lord, but so you need that.
Yeah.
So these are equal importance. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get into this.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, we're in part 17, and folks, this is going to be a long study, which I don't care whether it is or not. I enjoy going through Isaiah. I'm in no hurry to get through it. I like to take parts and go through them, get in depth, and bring up the other prophecies, the other scriptures that are relevant. And we do that. So we're in a part here that we didn't move very fast last time, but we are in, you could say, the millennium. And we're starting out. And I love this section. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. And what we're looking at, you know, especially in that verse, you know, when we look at some people think of this as more of a type of a lizard, or and some of them look at it as kind of well, the word and the understanding from some of this is a basilisk. And they have both a lizard and they have a viper. And there's a paralyzing and a bewitching influence these things are supposed to have, especially the snake. And, of course, if you've ever seen this, some animals like this, the prey, especially in the ocean, you'll see them. They have a way to hypnotize or to fool their prey. And so this is the idea here, that these things are really dangerous. They're able to pretty much get what they want. And what you're looking at here is three verses of some of the most virulent animals we have on the earth. We have the wolf, we have the leopard, and we have the bear, we have the lion, we have the asp, and the cockatrice's den. When I look at all of this, the thing, you know, is so obvious. You know, because you've got in this in this particular section. Now, I want to go back here because the basilisk is known as the cockatrice. A cockatrice is a mythical beast, sometimes a two-legged dragon or serpent-like creature with a rooster's head. You see them on old churches and old Gothic buildings. So it's really meant to make you think how dangerous it is. Now, see, this leads me to think about a lot of the animals that are not there anymore, like the unicorn. And I've actually seen some stuff that online and people researching things that said at one time there was indeed a unicorn. Nevertheless, I don't think they flew. But the biggest thing here is these are totally different animals in the way that they act, because they're in this time when the Son of God, the greater Son of David, is going to come again. Now, this is after he has come to the earth. He's gathered the saints, and we're all together for a 1,000-year millennial reign. That's what, when we talk about this section in here, this is what we're looking at as it looks forward. It's interesting to note that Isaiah's putting this in here after pretty much 10 chapters of talking about judgment on Israel for their sins and falling away. Now, they're not going to officially be overthrown right now. They are going to go through tremendous trials and trouble, and we've covered all those. But eventually, by the time Jeremiah finishes his ministry, Judah will go into captivity for 70 years, as everybody knows, and they're going to come back. And when they do come back that second time, Israel did had learned their lesson, and they did learn a lot. So it's interesting to note that this temple that they eventually built and went forward to the time of Jesus, it was eventually destroyed. And so there is no major big temple anymore like that. There is going to be a third temple that is going to be built, and it should be. I expect it to be a magnificent structure. So this is all meant, you know, whenever you have a lot of talk on judgment, you're going to have this by the prophet bring this hope. This is thing. And it's interesting to note because we think of the garden. And I've actually talked about this, and, you know, we have two instances, if you want to talk about the serpent who talked with Eve and coerced her to eat of the fruit. But you also have Balaam's ass who actually talked to Balaam, which leads me to postulate that in the garden it wouldn't have been unknown for animals to be able to even speak. And it also would be interesting to note that here we have a lion eating straw like the ox, which leads me to think about all of this and how the animals changed when they fell. It's just like when we fell. And it's also because of the fact that I have seen proof, a verifiable proof about our own plants, and that is the plants that haven't been destroyed by Monsanto's, Roundup and a few other of these particular nasty little boys that are in, the food itself that destroy it, that can actually poison you. But if you get good, healthy food, good, healthy greens and stuff, food can actually heal your body, and that's been proven. And of course, we have a number of them. And if you follow us on Instagram and join us on Instagram, you will get a whole litany of doctors that we've followed that are following this line with the major research which they found, which is exciting. So what this leads us to think about is that when God in the beginning had actually created everything, and he told Adam and Eve, he says, I have given you the plants of the earth and the herbs of the field for you to eat as food to eat. And of course, this is what is so interesting. It wasn't until after the fall that there was actually provision to eat meat. But nevertheless, and that's even why God had given the children of Israel the diet that he gave them on Sinai, the kosher diet as it's known today. But see, even the kosher diet does fall somewhat short in some of these things. Nevertheless, when God did do that, all those plants were perfect and meant to heal the body. And he doesn't say that, but that is exactly what it is. And Adam and Eve in the garden, everything that they would have consumed would have been used up 100% in their perfect bodies. So, and the animals would have been used up. I mean, all the food. And it also shows that these particular animals would actually eat straw like the lion, like the ox. And so it's interesting that they put this in here. Now, there's no way for us to know this for sure, but in heaven we know that there is going to be food to eat because there's going to be the wedding supper of the Lamb, and at a supper there's going to be wine. And even the Lord said, I will not drink it again until I drink it with you in my kingdom, and that kingdom is the wedding supper of the Lamb. We know there's going to be wine there, and that wine will be perfect wine. And we know that there's also various pictures of food and things that bring life. In the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was something that gave you knowledge, and it was something you weren't supposed to eat. They weren't supposed to, and they did. So they got the knowledge of knowing of good and evil, but what they weren't told was is that once they did that, they would have fallen in sin against God, and they would have been cast out of the garden. Yeah, you would be as gods, but you would also die as well. So this gives us a picture of that blissness of there's no more danger here. And of course, that also goes to the thing, you know, we're not going to go out. We're not going to be killing animals to eat. We're not going to have to worry about that. We're going to be in new bodies. Yeah, you're not going to be spirits. You're going to be real people. Just like when Christ came back and he literally came through the door talking to the when they came back, and when Doubting Thomas came along, he said, put your hand in my side and see that it's real. He said, I am not a spirit, but I have bones and I have flesh. And that's the important thing to understand, is that he could appear and disappear and he could ascend. So he was in a perfect body at that time. And that's the same kind of a body that we're going to get in this new kingdom, and as well as the animals are going to be redone, because all of nature now is groaning, as Isaiah in chapter 24, which we're going to get to and talk about, Isaiah's apocalypse, he actually says that the earth is being devoured by the curse, and that's what's happening today. It's not global warming. Global warming is a product of the curse devouring the earth, because when man fell, all of the creation fell. Everything that God had created for man, because of man's fall, sin entered in, and it affected everything, all the animals, everything. And so when man gets fully redeemed and God remakes the heavens and the earth, then there will be a total transformation here, and including the things that your animals eat, including the fact that it's going to be totally different than it was, and something that it's going to be hard for you to understand. Now, in the following verse, in 11:9 of Isaiah, says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Well, today, you know very well that there is Iran threatening of Israel. And of course, Israel, you know, doesn't fully have all the land. And when we talk about where is the holy mountain, or where is the third temple going to be? It's going to be in Jerusalem. It's going to be, now, of course, that's another thing, too. And I don't want to get into that, but there has been a number of scholars working on the precise location. And the location to which many people think the temple stood is not the location, according to some over there. And I don't worry about that. When the temple's built, it'll be built. But when we talk about a holy mountain, there's also going to be the heavenly Jerusalem that is going to descend and be on the earth. But that's going to be after the remaking of the heavens and the earth. And that will be where, you know, nothing will enter into Jerusalem which shall defile. The Lord and his Father will be the light. Totally different than what we know today. And so you're going to find out that, you know, we're not just going to all be crammed in to, you know, where Israel is today in the Middle East. No, not by a long shot. This is going to be a total remaking, and you're going to have all of the heavens and the earth. And of course, this gives us another thing. The Lord, as it is, he's not limited to just coming to the earth or leaving the earth. He goes up to heaven. So it's very possible that in this new kingdom of the Lord's, you're going to be able to see what really all the other creations of God look like in the outer galaxies. And you'll be able to get there nothing flat. I mean, we don't know this, but we know that everything's going to be remade. We know that the curse will not be there, and we know things will be totally different. So, you know, as far as that, you know, the real truth of all the remaking he's going to do, this is something that we should be excited about. And this is exactly why Isaiah is covering this, not to mention the fact this is something God wanted him to know, because God is a merciful God. Whenever he does judgment, now you listen to me, whenever he does judgment, it is redemptive, always redemptive, every time. There is one exception to that, and that is when you get into the wrath of God, or when you die in your sins and you've rejected Christ, it's too late. There is a time when the mercy of God, the grace of God, is going to come to an end. And it's going to come to an end for those who have rejected, but it's going to come into a fullness for those who have received the Lord. And that fullness is a kingdom with your Lord. And, you know, you won't be sweating anymore. You won't need clothes because you will be clothed. You'll be in a body, but you'll be clothed in a righteous apparel that signifies your righteousness, and you will shine as the stars in the heavens. You will be totally, totally different. It'll be a different thing. And so when I see all these animals, I can just see myself, you know, underneath. And Isaiah just talked about sitting under your olive tree or... You know, and just enjoying the day, you know. You've done all your work, you're sitting there. But heaven's going to be where you can sit under there. And I think of, you know, lessons of learning about how God created the universe. Or where was he before all this universe was created? What did he do then? When Moses asked him, what shall I tell them? He said, tell them I am that I am hath sent me. Moses want to know, well, who sent me? I am. Well, how long have you exist? Well, I am that I am. I always have been I am. I've always been here. There wasn't ever a time when I wasn't here. Now, that's hard for us to understand. So this is the God that's creating your time, your place, your redemption in its fullness. So when you're talking about this, don't limit anything when it comes to God, because there will be no sin. The former things will be totally taken away. Will you have beautiful streams and mountains? Yes. Will you have fish? Yes. Will you have all these things, and will it be beautiful? It'll be beyond beautiful. And of course, it says in verse 10, in that day there should be a root of Jesse. And of course, this is a root or a sprout of Jesse. And of course, this is like you take some of the branches as we can do here, and you can just stick them in the ground, stick them in water, and they will sprout. And this is a sprout off of Jesse, which is David's father. And the sprout is going to be the greater son of David. And that's why the apostles spent a great time just telling you, you know, the lineage of David. And so in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, a root or a sprout of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. And that rest is what we would call the millennium, and when this thing has been fully completed. And because when Christ was on the cross, you know, he said, it is finished, meaning his work, the redemptive part, the atonement. Then when you get in Revelation, we find another, it is finished, when the redemption part of man, which was to follow what Christ did in the atonement portion, would be fulfilled. So we have that fulfillment as well in Revelation. And so that's the work. And then the rest follows that work because it's all going to be finished. And, of course, the Gentiles have sought ever since the apostles went out and the Gentiles started coming to the Lord. Paul spends Romans 11 telling you about this and explaining it all. And so the Gentiles have indeed come. Some of the, you know, not all of the Jews have been on board. And, of course, Paul deals with that. But they will come on board. They will come to know him. And so, you know, we are in very prophetic times now. So, is the kingdom going to come in 2 years or a year or 6 months? No, I don't know when it's coming in, but it's coming. And I don't live in a time-based faith. I live in a faith in the only begotten Son of God to the glory of his Father. And whenever he chooses, whenever he comes, whenever he decides, whenever he brings it to pass, that's when it's going to happen. And that's fine with me. And so, but just talking about it. Now, you see, this is where we find in this section, the Gentiles' blessing is being extended. Now, see, that's why we look at all this section and we see that this is not just a section relating to Israel alone. This has to do with the prophecies of the millennium, the prophecies concerning the Gentiles coming and seeking a deliverer and a savior, that they're going to come to him for instruction, guidance, and salvation. And they did. Now, this is the interesting thing. But when you get into Zechariah, the last part of that, it talks about tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. And of course, a lot of the church don't celebrate these feasts, but the Feast of Tabernacles is actually going to be celebrated, as is a few of these others are going to be celebrated. And it does talk about the remnant of all the nations that are left. This is after the tribulation, are going to come down to Jerusalem for tabernacles, and any people from any country that does not come, they will suffer plagues from the Lord. So this is interesting for those who think that, you don't need to do anything with the feasts. And the feasts are, all of these things are all going to be fulfilled. As Paul says, they're a shadow of things to come. So it's interesting to see this. In Isaiah 11:11, it says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, from the islands of the seas." The Jewish blessing and redemption of people are seen as being scattered far and wide, and he shall gather them hence to himself. And so when we talk about some of these, now there is another scripture. I want to see if this thing, okay. Back up into this little section now. It says he will set his hand again the second time. Now, the first time was during Egypt when he recovered the children of Israel at the hand of Moses. There is going to be another, and this is where we call this the gathering of Ephraim, the lost tribes of Israel. And they're already being gathered into Israel. But it's not just that, because within the blessings of Ephraim and the returning of the 10 lost tribes, there's the blessing on the Gentiles, because Ephraim had the same blessing that was placed upon Abraham, where God specifically told him that in him all the nations of the world would be blessed. And so in Ephraim, the same thing is said. So we also see out of Ephraim and Manasseh, his brother, Manasseh being the oldest, they were born, of course, of Joseph and his bride, who happened to be a pagan, a daughter of a pagan priest. But she would have come to the Lord. I know that because of the way it was with Joseph. But see, it was really through that line of Joseph where we really see the first entering in of a Gentile line. And, of course, when Jacob decided to bless Joseph's children, he chose Ephraim as the one to receive the blessing. And Joseph even tried to correct him, said, no, this is the oldest father. No, he said, it's Ephraim through which this would flow. And it was Ephraim. Of course, Ephraim had sinned grievously, but God is bringing him back. And he's also going to recover all the lost of the tribes of Israel. He's going to bring back Gentiles. And it will end up being just as Paul said, there will be no Jew, Gentile, male or female, but we'll all be one in Christ. And so some of the areas, you know, he speaks of Assyria lying east of the Tigris. If you remember some of the stuff, you remember the cities of Mosul. So a lot of this is the same region in here. And, of course, when we talk about Assyria and get into even Persia, it's a big area. After the overthrow of the Assyrian kingdom, including Babylon area, the Babylonian Mesopotamia, this all went to the Euphrates. And after the overthrow of that empire, the name Assyrian Empire actually was the one that included that whole area, Babylon, Mesopotamia, and stuff. And so Egypt, you know where Egypt is. It's watered by the Nile. Pathros was one of the three ancient divisions of Egypt. Kush is the Chaldees. And Sizant, the Chaldee reads, and from Judea. And the Syriac says, and from Ethiopia. And it denotes the region settled by the descendants of Cush, the oldest son of Ham. This would be the southern parts of Arabia along the coast of the Red Sea, Ethiopia. Cush, and now you have Shinar, you remember that as being Babylon. The plain lying between the Tigris and the Euphrates. Hamath. The quote from there is Isaiah 10:9, and from the islands of the seas, the islands situated in the Mediterranean. But as we know, there were islands beyond that. And so it commonly, when we look at it today, the Hebrews saw that as distant regions beyond the sea. So there's a lot of islands of the seas beyond the Mediterranean and beyond the shores of where the known world at that time was. And in time, that's what that became known as, the islands of the seas. That is all the seas incorporated from at the farthest points. And it says in verse 12 that he will set up an ensign for the nations, shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now this again is, this is deep. This is really important prophecy, because this has to do, at the time of Solomon, his kingdom was probably the greatest that Israel had ever seen it. However, he sinned. His heart fell away from the Lord. He had a lot of wives and concubines, and a lot of those came from all the pacts he made with the nations. The problem of it was that some of the women turned his heart against the Lord. And in doing so, God judged him and created Judah and then the northern tribes, are known as Ephraim. And it was to this thing that you had the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, and then you had Judah and Benjamin along with the Levites, who was not a tribe, but it was the priestly tribe. And so they were in the southern kingdom. And so he will set up an ensign for the nation, assemble the outcasts of Israel, gather them from the four corners of the earth. In the Chaldee, it reads from the four winds, scattered from the Septuagint says the four wings. Well, if you had four doves or four long flying birds and you set them in north, south, east, west, it would, as far as they could fly, and even farther than that, would denote the four corners of the earth. It's from wherever. This phrase means, wherever my people are on this earth, I will gather them back. Now, see, this is very important, see, because as we talk about Ishmael and the Arabs, and when you look at Iran, there's Ishmael. When you look at Arab, they're at Ishmael. And when you not, and then Isaac, of course, is the Jews, all the tribes of Jews. And that's where the promise went out. And so you've had this fight basically between the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac for time immemorial. And then you had the division of Israel into the northern and southern kingdoms. And they even fought and had trouble. And they were divided. The northern kingdom was really cast away and really infiltrated and mixed up within in the nations of the world. And so you have Jews literally living all over the face of the earth, and God was going to bring them back. And that's what this means. And that's why today, even the Jews coming back is full history. Now, Jerry Golden, he lives in this kind of stuff all the time, preparing the time to bring the Jews back to Israel. And so this is really, and the sons of Isaac look at it this way, and I've heard some of them talking about this, that's been in the news. Let the Jews gather all the Jews together. They're going to be easy to find and kill. So make no mistake, there is going to be a major, major war, and it's going to be worse than we've ever seen. Matter of fact, where this is really where God is going, and he says he's going to bring them down against Israel to Jerusalem and judge them there. That's what he says. And so this is why when we talk about Megiddo, when we talk about Armageddon, when we talk about the very last battle, the Gentile nations, including Ishmael, will be gathered together under the banner of the one great, the last great Gentile leader, which will be the beast. And he will lead them down to Jerusalem because he wants the whole area himself. And he wants to kill the Jews and get rid of them. Now, this is basically what it is. But it's going to be so bad that even the armies of the east, this would be the armies of the sun, where it arises in the east, which falls on Japan, which falls on North Korea, South Korea, India, and China. A 100 million man army, which China pretty much can muster by itself. But this includes all those nations marching all the way. And when they begin to march, a third of mankind are going to be killed. And this will be mainly through nuclear exchange. I think and we get that from a lot of the imagery we read in those sections in Revelation. So, see, he's going to be gathering this, and he's gathering them right now. That people like Jerry Golden are working to gather them. But there's going to be coming a time, and this is what it says, Isaiah 11:13. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, that's the northern kingdom, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. So the adversaries of Judah, that's the ones even today, are going to be cut off. In other words, they're going to be destroyed. They're not going to be there anymore. And there is going to be a time when both the tribes will be united into one Israel. And so this is really important. Of course, the Jews are waiting literally for God to make Israel as it was in the beginning. But it's going to be a lot more than that, and that's the thing. Now, Ezekiel talks about this, and I think this is very important because both of these are scriptures that are very important when we talk about the uniting of the children of Israel. These are prophecies that yet to have to be fulfilled. Ezekiel 37:16, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel. And so you have the two houses there, and you have both of these sticks. Verse 19 of that, saying to them, "Just saith the Lord God, behold, I'll take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand." Now that is the uniting of Israel with all the tribes, right there. And so this is very important, and these are all prophecies that are going to happen. And Isaiah is talking about this, you know, long before a lot of the others are talking about it. He's telling them what's going to happen. So this is really, to me, it's an amazing thing to see. And you and I are living in this time. Now, we talk a lot about how stressful the times are, but you got to temper the stress. And see, Christ said we're going to have tribulation. He said, "But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." So a lot of the stress that we face every day, all of us, from all the things that are going on, the little and the big things, can be made up by the grace of God. For God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And so his grace means his favor. And you can find strength. You can find guidance. You can find provision. You can find help to keep you going another day. And I always say it this way. How many times have I said, "I can't go on"? Now, I don't say it anymore, but a long time ago, I used to say, "Well, I just can't take anymore. I'm not going to do it." And I'd get up the next day and I'd take more. I mean, we all have said that. At least I believe we all have said that. That, you know, "God, I can't take anymore." But guess what? He knows what you can take. And what do? You take more. God is preparing a people. And he is there to provide for us. But this is an amazing thing, because the Gentiles are going to be in the middle of this too. Those who come to the knowledge of the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Verse 14. "But they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west, and they shall spoil them of the east together. And they shall lay their hand upon Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them." You know, there's a lot of things in here that we can talk about in all of this section. But when we look at this, we see the enemies, the warlike nations. Are there warlike nations today who oppress Israel? Are there warlike people who oppress the world? Yeah. There's radical Islam, and it oppresses Christians and others in just about every nation that they can get themselves into. Then when we talk about the children of Israel, they have Gaza that fires rockets over all the time. You have Hezbollah that fires rockets from Lebanon. You have Israel who supplies the money for all the terror groups that are attacking Israel, and who just threatened today that they will fight to the very last man against America. But the bottom line of it is that they're all oppressing Israel. So what you see here, those warlike nations who oppressed Israel and also showed themselves oppressive around the world, you know, there's a lot of interesting things here, because you can see this and you can see that this new Israel is unbeatable. But there's another thing here. Both Albert Barnes and then the duo of Kyle and DeLeach, both who are very good in the Hebrew, both of them agree that this also refers to spiritual warfare. Albert Barnes writes, "The enemies of God shall be subdued and brought to the knowledge of the truth in a rapid and decisive manner. The language is that which is drawn from the idea of conquest." So if we see, you know, you could think about the far-spreading conversion among the nations to the gospel. Now, right now, all you hear is, and I've talked about it, is how many Christians are being oppressed and killed. You also see the constant haranguing of Israel the nations turning against Israel, but in fact, we've reported on many, many Muslims coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and Christianity. The same thing we find happening in China, and we find it in India, where the Hindus are at. There's a lot of nations right now that are really, really nervous about Christianity because people get saved. And as I tell the people in the broadcast, basically, you know, a lot of the people that are in areas that are really tough for the gospel, they're, you know, the Lord does a lot of stuff and they're not even privy to it till after it's over with. Or they're about ready to die and they need a miracle and God doesn't. And we've witnessed testimonies of just absolutely mind-boggling Old Testament miracles for these believers and people coming to the Lord in droves. So make no mistake, you may think by living in America that nobody believes. But see, just as Israel, you know, when we had Elijah fleeing for his life and he came to the cave of the Lord. And the Lord said, well, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says, he was talking about I alone am left. You know, Jezebel was seeking his life. And God said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. You know, in other words, Elijah, get back in there. I've got 7,000 people that are strong out there. You go get them. And see, whenever you think you're alone, wherever you think, whenever people tell you that the Lord is losing, that Christianity is going to be extinct, there's no way, and I'll say this in parentheses, in hell, that that will happen. And there is absolutely, positively truthful that 100% it will happen in heaven. The redeemed will walk in heaven. They will walk in a place prepared for them on this earth. There will be an Israel. There will be a temple. There will be the Messiah, the greater son of David. Eventually, the Father will be there. We will see this. And matter of fact, if you're alive today, and if this happens in your lifetime, you could very well live to be a very old age, because there's going to be those that are not going to die. They're going to be changed in a moment when they see the Lord. So you've got to believe this stuff. I mean, this is what Scripture is about. You need to get out of this unbelief. You need to get out of this, oh, that'll never happen. Well, see, I don't get into the mid-trib, pre-trib, post-trib. I could care less about that. A lot of that stuff is misteaching. But there is a fact. He's coming back again, and he's coming back for his people, both Jew and Gentile. He's coming back for people. God always, always had a place for the Gentiles. And he will always have a place for the Jews. And he's going to bring them to himself. So we could see this as well as the enemies of Israel that are currently there. Eventually they'll be defeated totally. And there will be a time when the enemies of Christians, the Gentiles who follow Yahshua, these enemies will be gone or converted. There will be a time when the Messiah has to come, and it says quite plainly that unless he comes back, there will be no flesh left alive, and he will be the one that will fully, finally, completely turn this thing around and stop every bit of resistance. He'll destroy everybody that's opposing, and he will save his people. And he will bring in his kingdom. Now, that's what this is, the finality. And it goes in here in verse 15. And the Lord shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. That's the Nile. With his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river Euphrates, and shall smite it in seven streams and make men go over dry straw. Now this, as is pointed out by various commentators, is not the fact that it's divided into seven streams and that God would smite them. And God would smite it, however, in such a way that it would make it able to walk over it dry shod. It won't be one big river or seven big streams, but it'll be many rivulets. And the reason that we say that is because of the number seven in there, which is a perfect number, and in this case would denote an indefinite number. And we know that Euphrates in Revelation is going to be dry for the armies of the east to come over. So we know that is going to happen. And of course, that Euphrates, it's really amazing to me when we see all this. And there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, what shall be left from Assyria, like it was to Israel in the days that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And so people are going to be crossing, and they're going to be able to cross easily and come into the area, into Israel. And there's going to be a highway for the remnant, those who are coming to where the Messiah is going to be. This is amazing, because God, remember, he said, I'm going to collect, I'm going to join the stick. So we're looking at the completion of the 12 tribes, totally. We're looking at the completion of the Gentiles community that are following the Lord. So we're seeing a total work here and uniting. And, you know, I mean, when we talk about, you know, amazing, you know, the fact that Isaiah knew all this in the first place, and he talked about it. Well, we're talking about it. It's a long time before it even happens. So, you know, I mean, that's something in itself. And so within this, we are down now to Isaiah chapter 12. And that's a short little section. But we will be back. And Father, we thank you for your word. Bless your people, Lord. Open up their hearts and minds in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, in the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Okay, Tower.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can.
Well, I always like this, and it's interesting how Isaiah ties into the end of times, and I look forward to that when the lion shall lay down with the lamb.
I don't blame you.
I'm tired of what's going on in the world and everything, but we don't have much time, so I'd like to thank everybody for joining us. We love you, we pray for you, and we may God richly bless you, and we hope all is well wherever you're at. Good night,
well,
everybody.
You know, when we talk about animals, you know, animals have a unique personality, and you can watch them. When we go up in the wild and we see them, it's amazing. When we see the birds, we have turkeys, you know, they all have unique personalities, the way they act. And just to think,
yeah,
to be able to, you know, be
even our dogs.
Yeah, in the millennium where these animals are, you can get to know them even better. This is God's creation and wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, we got to get out of here. So we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warn Radio.